know, I don't know if it's the cold weather that's an anomaly or what, but kind of felt all morning just a little bit distracted. I don't know if you felt that same way too. But I love the week. I love Thanksgiving. I've said for many years that I don't believe there's a better Christian holiday than Thanksgiving. How many times are we commanded throughout Scripture to give thanks in all circumstances, all the time? So I just want us to give thanks to the Lord for a moment this morning. And I know we're wet and we're cold and maybe tired a little bit, but what are you thankful for? You can just shout it out to the Lord. Family. Yeah, that's the first one in the first service too. Good to be thankful for family. Salvation. Praise the Lord. Healing. Yes. His provision. For rest. It all came at once. I didn't hear him, but that's great. Yeah. Those were good. Mercy, praise the Lord. New beginnings. You know, so many times when we're distracted or we get cold or we get weary or whatever that might be in terms of our spiritual walk, we need a perspective change, don't we? And Thanksgiving is one of those perspective changes where we start to recognize, no, God is at work around me. And that's what I love so much about this holiday. And even as I've grown in the Lord, I realize that so much of it is about perspective. Now, about being a Christian, because it's really hard to measure success in so many ways as a Christian, right? We understand success in a business type of way, in a business format, because we can measure dollars, we can measure numbers and cents, but it's difficult when you talk about spirituality. And so one of the things that I understand is vital to our success as a Christian is, what is your perspective in the Christian life? Now, I'm not talking about some new age type of thing, oh, we need to alter the way that we see things, but do you see them through God's eyes? Do you see your life through God's eyes? Or do you see your life through your own eyes and through the mud and the mire and the sin and the difficulty? So that's what I'm talking about when I refer to perspective. Now, today in Isaiah, we're going to see that Isaiah says on that day, on multiple occasions. Now, he is talking about a perspective of the final day, of when Jesus has returned, of when he set up his kingdom here on earth, and he's sharing this perspective in Isaiah chapter 12. It's an eternal perspective. So when we read this today, we're going to see some dramatic statements here in this first paragraph. Here's what my goal is. I want us to find our strength and our song. For some of you, you think, well, that really doesn't go together, right? Because I'm not going to be strong and then still have a song in my heart, because it would make sense that if I'm going to be strong, then I'm going to be unhappy, because I got to be strong against the things that are pressing against me. And so I'm going to be strong but miserable, right? Some of you do that very well. And then some of you think, well, okay, if I'm going to be happy and have a song on my heart, well, then I can't be strong, because then I would have to have this mentality where nobody's going to affect me. Everybody can just go about doing their own thing, and I might be a doormat, and I'm not going to be strong, but at least I'll be happy. But Isaiah says something totally different here in a minute. He's going to say, the Lord is my strength and my song. So I want to give you the end of the sermon first, and then I want to figure out, how do we get there? Okay, you can't be strong on your own. Plain and simple. You have to be weak in the Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. You have to be weak in your own self to be strong in the Lord. Because in our weakness, God wants to be our strength. He wants to step in humility. He wants to step in struggles, and he wants to be our strength. The only way that you are going to have strength and song in your life is if you've been weak and Christ has become your strength. See, when he becomes your strength, he puts a song in your mouth. He puts a song in your heart. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Well, now that's going to be our main focus, but I want to continue reading through the rest of the chapter. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So Lord, give us wisdom to understand and know your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have y'all ever been around a daydreamer? How many of y'all are sitting next to a daydreamer right now? You got to elbow them halfway through the sermon to, hey, are you here with us? Aren't daydreamers so much fun to be around? I mean, when life is terrible, they're humming, they're skipping, they're singing. Aren't daydreamers terrible to be around? Okay, yeah, let's be honest, they're not fun. They're frustrating, aren't they? Because you think, wake up. And those of us who live in reality, you think, you got to wake up. Why aren't you seeing things the way that I'm seeing them? How can you just be floating on the clouds right now, right? Now, what I want to tell you here in these two paragraphs in Isaiah chapter 12, we've got to learn how to live in this alternate reality right here. That's the perspective, and this is the reality of Christ and of his return. We've got to learn to live in this place where eternity is our home, and we're seeing out of the eyes of God when we interpret our life and when we see the circumstances in our life, because we know very well our lives stink on so many levels, don't they? That life in our physical reality of how we live it is very difficult. So how do we do it? Here's how it begins. God is my strength. God is my strength. Some of us can't grasp that simple but profound statement. Look at what Isaiah says. He says, Lord, you were angry with me. Why would he be angry? Because Isaiah is unclean. He was a person of unclean lips. He lived among a people of unclean lips. His sin was always before him, was on him. So the Lord was angry with him. Man, that applies to me right here. And some of us, we go about feeling like, okay, the Lord is angry with me. Well, he's angry because of our sin, that's for sure. But Isaiah says, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. You know what that tells me? I did nothing to turn the anger of God off of me. Nothing. So in my strength, I am powerless on my own strength. By my own muscles, by my own intention, by my own will, I'm powerless. There is nothing that I can do to match the power of God. So if he's angry with me, guess what? I'm done. I'm ashes. I'm dust. He's got to zap me. If God is angry with me, who can stand against the Lord in that way, right? So if I know my strength is powerless to stand against the Lord, then why do I try to do everything in my own power all the time? What a waste of time that is. I mean, God is almighty. If we figured out, church, how to tap into that strength and into that might and stop spinning our wheels with our own strength, what a difference that would make in this life. What a difference it would make for us. So what are some signs that you might be living in your own strength? Well, here's a few that I think are pretty good. Are you focused on what you accomplish? A lot of you, yes, right? Are you focused on what you accomplish? Maybe here's another way to say it. Are you more concerned about the end result than the journey that you take to get there? Are you somebody who's too busy to have personal time with the Lord? That one always makes me smile a little bit. I always wonder how that excuse will stand before the throne room of God. You know, oh God, I was too busy. Really? Okay. Do you know competitive people a lot of times struggle a little bit more with doing this in your own strength, right? You know who you are because I see somebody doing something and I just want to raise up. I want to do it better. But I'm going to harness that energy from my own self, aren't I? Do you find that you get angry, that you have a short fuse? Do you find that you just get exhausted because you're burned out because you're doing things in your own strength? And I had this great friend in high school. She was an only daughter. She was living with a single mother, her mother. And people, you know, felt sorry for their situation. And so somebody gave her a car. She was 17. Somebody wanted her to have a car so that she could drive back and forth. Now in Burnet, if you're familiar with the area, there's nothing out there, right? There's long roads. And people that go to Burnet High School actually have to drive about 40 minutes sometimes because it's Burnet County ISD. They're just trucking a long way. So she had this car to drive, and nobody bothered to ask her or her mother, do you know how to care for a vehicle? And they didn't notice that the oil was leaking out of her engine. Never bothered to ask, like, is it normal that there would be black spots underneath the car once it pulls out of the driveway? None of that ever dawned on them, but she's on Highway 29. She's coming into Burnet after driving a long way. Everybody knows her situation, and the car just craters on the side of Highway 29. What's the matter? I don't know. It started smoking. Everything was working. I put gas in it. You know, I don't understand what's wrong. So some guys went out to check it out. When was the last time you changed the oil in your car? What? Went home and saw a big oil stain all over a driveway. There was no oil in your engine. Well, when can I fix the car? When can I get it back? Never, right? It has cratered to the point that engines can't crater anymore. There's no life support in this thing anymore. It's done. You need a new car. Well, how did it happen? Because what is the most essential thing to make everything click and work, or to make them not click and make it work smoothly, is oil in the car. Well, but I had just washed it. Who cares, right? And we try to do things in our own strength. How much effort do we put on the external, right? Oh, I combed my hair today. Oh, I took a bath today. Oh, things are nice and they're functioning outside. But when we're trying to do them in our own, it's like not even putting oil in the car. You're only going to be able to run so long that way. You're only going to be able to go so far before something collapses, before something craters. See, God is my strength. Paul says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in the strength of your might. He says in Romans, if God is for us, then what could be against us? What a demonstration of strength. So you want signs maybe that God is being your strength. How about this one? Are you renewed inside day by day? I'm not talking about is life all functioning hunky-dory for you. Are you being renewed in the midst of it day by day? Paul even says, outwardly I'm wasting away, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Do you have that joy in your heart? Do you notice God's blessings around you? This is why I love having little kids and why I don't want to stop having kids, but eventually we're going to have to stop having kids, because they notice things like flowers and butterflies and sunsets that as adults, we forget about those things. And we'll be driving down the car. Oh, look how incredible the sunset is. There's a butterfly. Oh my gosh. The colors are brilliant. And we notice those things, and we love the Lord because of those things. Do you notice God's blessings in your life? That's a sign that you're being renewed inwardly day by day. Do you want more time with the Lord? Are you telling the Lord, God, I hate that I have to cut this off at an hour, but I got to go to work this morning. But as soon as I get home, I want to jump back on my knees and be with you. And I'm going to just pray with you throughout the day. Let's just do that. Do you find that the worship service is never long enough for you? See, these are signs that the Lord is reaching into your heart, that he's stirring, that he's doing something new, so that when I go out into this world, it's out of the overflow of what God is doing in my heart. Is God your strength? See, but Isaiah says, God is my strength and my song. Now, I love it that God wants to be and is our song. You know that singing people are just more happy than other people? That's why I feel sorry for some of you that don't like to sing, because singing people are always just happy. I mean, they're singing in the hallways, singing in the bathroom, singing in the shower. It's always just fun, right? Look at what Paul says in Colossians 3. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So Isaiah says, he's been my strength, he's been my song. Paul says, I want you to sing. I wonder if this is a command or if what Paul is saying is a byproduct of the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. See, maybe some of us think, well, I've got a song in my heart, I'm going to keep singing, but then we get out of the word of Christ and then suddenly we're singing by our own strength. See how these go hand in hand. We become weak before the Lord. He becomes our strength. He puts that song deep down within our heart. And always in this world, we want to make our song about something that's temporary, don't we? We want to sing and be joyful about our sports team. We want to sing and be joyful about our hobbies. We want to sing and be joyful about our family, about our spouse, about our children. Those are all good things. Those are fantastic things. But if any one of those is the center of what is bringing you joy, is the center of what you wake up for, to live for, then it's going to come crashing down at some point. Is the Lord what you wake up for and want to sing about? Is he what you wake up for and are joyful about? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. I love Psalm chapter 40. The psalmist says, boy, I was down in the mud and in the mire. And Lord, you heard my cry. You came to my help. You lifted me up out of the mud and you placed my feet upon a solid rock. And you put a new song in my mouth. You put a hymn of praise to our God. I love what Zephaniah realizes when he's prophesying about the Lord. In Zephaniah 3:17, he says, Lord, you rejoice over me with gladness, with thanksgiving. You rejoice over me with singing. And what a picture of the Lord loving us so much that he is literally putting that song upon our hearts as his voice sings over us, like a mother sings over her child, like a father sings over his child. So you want something to be excited about. Here we go, all right? God is my salvation. He says this, I will trust, I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Right? How are we tapping into this strength? How is he becoming our song? God is our salvation. Well, we take this for granted. We lose sight of it day by day, all the time. Look at what Paul says in Titus. He says, the Lord saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, he saved us, church. Man, that means that we were dying. We needed saving. We were plunging to the pit. And God, in his mercy, he saved us. Not by any works that we could do. You didn't earn it. We weren't even seeking it. But God saved us by his mercy. You see this picture here that I love? Man, it's this picture of mercy just washing us. Regeneration, becoming something that is brand new. I love that. How many of you feel better after you've taken a bath or a shower? Yeah. How many of you wish the person next to you had done that this morning, right? Of course it makes a difference, doesn't it? Now, why can we apply this principle to everything, but then we lose it with God sometimes, right? He renews us. He makes us brand new. I was amazed when we sold our house back in January. We moved into Silverado. How, the realtor showed up and said, wow, Jonathan, this is a great porch. This is a selling point, you know, for your house. How many times have you walked on the handrail of your front porch? Why do you ask? Well, I see your footprints and scuff marks all over it. Well, every time that I've hung Christmas lights, I stand on the handrail and I hang lights up there. Well, how about you spend $20 on a can of paint and repaint this whole front porch? Come on, you know, I just want to go to a new house. No, you don't realize it, but when somebody sees that front porch sparkling with a new coat of paint, they're going to be attracted to your house. It makes a world of difference. So then, man, we start going crazy. We're painting the inside. We're painting the outside. And then it comes time to sell the house. We don't want to sell it anymore. We want to stay in there because we work so hard to make it look nice, right? It's a difference. You feel better about it. Man, if you're going to sell your car, you're not going to put it up there with fast food garbage all in the floorboard and somebody comes to see it. Oh, yeah, take a test drive. Okay, I'll do that, right? No, we vacuum it out. We wash it because that makes a difference for how we feel. When Bethlehem is over and a lot of us are going to cut our hair and trim our beards, we're going to feel better about ourselves, right? God says he is a God of our salvation. Isaiah says, today, Lord, you have become my salvation. It's like with your mercy that you've cleansed me, that you've made me new, that what was ugly and what was tainted and what was disgusting is now shiny and clean. And man, I can lift up my head and rejoice because you are a God of my salvation. Isn't that awesome? Even Jesus, when he's talking to the Pharisees, he says, don't you know that the Lord says, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I'm the God of the living, right? That right now I am the God of their salvation. And right now I am the God of your salvation. We can't lose sight of that, that inwardly we want to be renewed day by day. Inwardly, today, God is the God of our salvation. Man, that's a perspective change, right? Oh, so who's working the salvation in my life? Oh, it's not me. It's God. Wow, who has the ability for me to be cleansed today? Oh, it's not me. It's God. His mercy washes us, makes us brand new. Listen, church, this is not a matter of if. That's where a lot of us live. Okay, I'm going to wake up today and God, if you want to be merciful on me today, be merciful. If you can forgive me of the horrible sin that I did last night, then please forgive me. That's not what the Bible says, is it? Well, that's the sign that you're doing things in your own strength. If God can forgive you, what sin have you committed that is greater than the power of the Lord that he showed us on the cross and with his resurrection? No sin, right? So why in my own strength would I question God, if you can forgive me of this horrible sin? If I can, Jesus died for you. God in the flesh died for you. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of do I trust God at his word for him to cleanse me with the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit to make me new so that God has become my salvation. God, I wake up in the morning and guess what? Wow, your mercies are brand new this morning. I don't even have the same mercy that I had yesterday because today it's brand new. That's awesome. I want to live in it. Wow, God, today you're going to forgive me, that I'm going to trust that that sin has been crucified on that cross and I'm going to walk in the power of that salvation clean, brand new. So that when I walk into the church, I'm not thinking, oh, everybody sees what an awful sinner I am. No, they're going to see how great of a God I worship because he's made me new. It gets me excited. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. But God is my salvation. Here's what's cool about this, right? So the Lord is my strength and my song. Today, he has become my salvation. You know what all of that says to me? I'm not alone, all right? I am not alone. Man, I'm excited to have him as my strength and my song, but God is with me. If he is my salvation right now, he is with me. You know, the world and the enemy work on dividing and conquering us, don't they? If I can just get that husband and wife to not be one and just get that division in them, then I'm going to conquer them. Boy, it's like that wolf chasing after the pack, right? If I'm just going to look for that weakness of that one animal that's going to get off to the side, and then that's the one we're going to pounce on. Because the world knows individually we're very weak. We're very susceptible to attack. The enemy knows that. What are his tactics to get us to be alone? Oh, Oh, we hate people, right? We hate people. We find people, man, I just hate that person. I'm going to remove myself from them. And then how easily hatred snowballs. I know, and then I hate this person too. I really hate y'all too. It's what happens until we're alone. Or what do we do up here? Oh, I feel like he hates me. I feel like she hates me. Really? Did you go ask him? Go and talk to him. And if there is a reason for problems, then get it right with them. What do? I feel like nobody likes me anymore. I feel like I'm inferior to everybody else, so I'm just going to withdraw. They don't really need me. Or I feel like I'm superior to everybody else. I don't want to be drugged down by them. What do up here? Well, I feel like I'm going to be better on my own because I really don't have anything good to bring to the table. Those are lies that the enemy places within us to make us alone, right? I feel like a failure, so people aren't going to want to be around me. Are you kidding me? God is my salvation. God is my strength. God is my song. Look at what God says in Hebrews 13. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you realize that in your darkest moment, in your greatest hour of trial, you know who was there with you? God was there. Whether you woke up your eyes to see him or not, God was there. He's not going to leave you. In that moment, he wants you to grab his hand. If he's gone from you, he's not going to be able to do that, right? God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Man, I love that. I love it that when I wake up in the morning, no matter what junk I did the night before, when I wake up in the morning, God is there. I step out of bed, God is there. When I walk into that office, God is there. When I walk into that schoolroom, God is there. I am not alone. Now look around your church. Check this out. You're not alone. Why? Because the Lord has ordained, the Lord has placed into existence the church of Jesus Christ, which is you. Which is me. So that we show up here on Sunday mornings, we're not alone. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many members. You see, the church is designed by God that we show up here and we realize, oh man, I'm such a horrible sinner. Oh, you're such a horrible sinner. Wow, isn't God good? He got us both out of bed. He brought us here. Let's hold hands together and let's run this race of Jesus Christ hand in hand together. Oh man, I'm having marital problems. Oh, you're having marital problems. Oh, that guy had marital problems before and he can help us with this. Let's hold hands together. Let's run this race together. Oh, I show up and I don't have anything in common with you save this. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. He died on that cross and he rose from the dead. And that's enough to be a banner that's over my head, over my heart, that'll keep us running this race together. And you will say, in that day, I will give thanks to the Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And today, he has become my salvation. Praise the Lord. Father, how we love you. Thank you for your word. May you be our strength and our song. May you become our salvation. God, may we realize in you that we're not alone. And if God is with us, if God is for us, who could be against us? Lord Jesus, we want to go this week to Thanksgiving, Father, with your name upon our lips and your praises upon our lips. So help us to have you in our heart as our strength and our song this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.